that the Bible has already established. And so we're going to redefine words like God. Okay? The world has totally, totally transformed the name of God. And we're going to look at that in Romans chapter 1 next week. And then we're going to redefine love, redefine judgment. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, don't judge me? They're saying that while they're judging somebody for what they think is judging them. And just doesn't make sense. We're going to redefine success, redefine fear. A lot of times we think fear is just a total negative thing, but the Bible says to fear the Lord. It also redefining marriage. How many of you guys understand our culture wants to totally redefine what God already established? The very first institution God established on the earth was the institution of marriage. The second institution was government. The third institution was the church, and all three are under attack. And then we're going to redefine church. That's the one I'm most excited about. How many of you guys have kind of peeked back and saw the new nursery build out? You guys seen that? It is going to be awesome. I'm telling you what. We have an interior designer who's doing a fantastic job. The construction team is doing a fabulous job, working so many hours all week. I appreciate them. It's going to be unbelievable. I'm looking for the wow factor. I don't know if you guys, some of you guys might not know this, but we're in the Forbes top 20 fastest growing cities in America. And the number one contributor was babies. And so we have long winters, if you're new here, and we preach a lot on the family. So not just in our church, but just in our city as a whole, the demographic age is about 30 years old. And most parents that come in have little babies. And I'd like for the moms to have the wow factor. To walk in and be like, wow, like they prepared for my kids. It's clean. It's nice. It's well-staffed. And so thank you for being understanding during our transition time. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about expanding our auditorium as well. Well, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. I've entitled this message, A Tale of Two Soils. Now, in our story, you have four soils. But there's only two. Now, you can question my mathematical ability, which can be warranted. You say there's four soils in the story, but there's really only two. There's good soil and bad soil. Notice what it says in chapter 13 in verse 1. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together and unto him. And so he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. We want to hear from this Jesus. And he spake many things unto them in what? Parables. Okay? Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some of 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Lord, I pray that you would teach us why you spoke in parables. Lord, why you take everyday ordinary things to teach spiritual truths. I pray, Lord, that we as a church family and those that are guests today would set aside the cares of this life today, what's burdening them down. And Lord, I pray that their hearts would be in tune with your word. I pray that you would till up and cultivate the soil of their heart as you did mine this week. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know in Kent County, you can take your soil, just gobble up some soil from your house and send it in, and they can test your soil, whether or not it's good or not. In fact, they'll even send a report back telling you what to add to your soil to add some nutrients to make it healthy so that things can grow in your yard or in your farm if you're into that sort of thing. We're from out west. We lived in Las Vegas. We didn't even know that things could grow. But I'm thankful that God moved us from the desert across the river Mississippi into the land which floweth with milk and honey. And this is a great place because everything just seems to grow here. It's absolutely amazing. And I want you to understand something. you and I have to test the soil of our heart. Jesus is saying, look, there's all this soil, different kinds of soil, and the sower spreads the seed indiscriminately, wherever he wants, everywhere, hoping it takes root and grows and bears fruit. Now, how many of you guys enjoy fruit? You enjoy that, right? You enjoy fruit, you enjoy bananas, you enjoy apples, and you enjoy citrus. How many of you guys enjoy those things? I do too. But you can't enjoy those things unless the plant grows. God is saying to you this morning, I want you to bear fruit. And you can't bear fruit unless my seed, which is the Word of God, takes root. See, what kind of fruit does God want me to bear? The fruit of the Spirit. Love. How many of you guys want to be loving? And by the way, this isn't the type of fruit where you grow and show it off to people. It's so that people in your life could experience the fruit that's in your life. Like love and joy. This is in Galatians 5. How many of you guys want to have happiness? And by the way, is happiness the absence of your problems? Or is it the presence and the fruit of the Spirit? That's what it is. It's a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Love, joy, peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. That shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Long-suffering. How many of you guys need a little dose of long-suffering? Especially if you're a parent. How many of you guys need a little long-suffering, especially if you're in church today? You know, it's like, Pastor, hurry up with the message. Maybe not, I don't know. How many of you guys just need a little, how many of you guys need gentleness? How about some goodness? How many of you guys would agree this morning, there's a lot of people that lack goodness today. How about faith? How about meekness, which is power under control? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Some of that fruit is just being teachable. The question is, what kind of fruit are you producing, especially in your home, especially with your spouse? I can tell you there have been weeks and months in my personal life where there wasn't much good fruit being produced from my life. And my children weren't enjoying it, and my wife wasn't enjoying it, and maybe my church family, maybe they didn't know, but they weren't enjoying any of that either. I said, what's wrong with Pastor? The question is this morning, how's your fruit? Maybe another way to phrase it is, how's the soil in your heart? How is that going? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart. Now, the word keep means to guard. If I said, hey, keep the door, watch the door, guard the door, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The reason why many people have so many issues in their life is because they're not guarding their heart. And when you don't guard your heart, it can become hardened. It can become shallow, or it could be overcome by the cares of this life, and the Word of God is choked out because of it. That's why it's important to guard our hearts. Circumstances do not control your attitude. Your heart controls that. Circumstances do not control your attitude. Your heart controls that. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Remember when Paul and Silas was put in prison at midnight for preaching the gospel? Did that circumstance change their attitude, or did they sing praises at the middle of the night? It didn't change their attitude. Listen, the reason why you might have a bad attitude, the reason why you are not doing well, maybe you lack peace, maybe you lack joy, the reason why is not because of your circumstance, it's because of your heart. It's your heart. Like this, circumstances do not control your attitude, your heart controls that. If you can't change your circumstances, then you need to change your perspective. If you can't change your circumstance in life right now, maybe you need to change your heart. Maybe your heart is hard. Maybe you need to change your perspective. As a preacher, I'm always praying, Lord, help me to preach a helpful message. And Lord, help me to dig deep in your word and proclaim this truth with boldness. And help me not to worry about what everybody thinks, but just, Lord, help me to be in tune with what you think. And boy, I pray that all the time. And after studying this, I realized that, you know, the seed, which is the Word of God, never changes. The Bible says the grass withereth, the flower fadeth thereof, but thy word shall endure forever. The word never changes. And the sower doesn't change. Did you know that? We just sow seeds wherever. We just knock on doors, preach the gospel to whoever. Whoever will listen. But you know what does change? Is the soil. We call this the parable of the sower, but really should be the parable of the soil. It's interesting, I could preach this message this morning, and there'll be people coming, Pastor, that just touched my heart, that really helped me. And other people, just nothing, absolutely nothing. Stiff neck, just walk out in the car, can't wait for lunch, and not even think about it again. Isn't that amazing? It's interesting that the same Jesus will preach this message from a boat, and everybody will respond differently. And it's not because the message is different, it's because their heart is different. There are so many different hearts represented here. And God is saying He's using a parable, which is using ordinary things that we would understand to communicate a spiritual truth. And He's saying, what does your heart look like? What kind of heart do you have? And the disciples ask Jesus, why are you using parables with them? You know what He says? I want you to see this. Now, I'm going to spend a little extra time on this because Jesus does. Before I get into my points, I'll go through my points quickly, but let me explain this to set up the message. Notice they said, Lord, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you using the soil and the sower and the seed to teach these people? And He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, I'm going to explain this. Because in West Michigan, Calvinism definitely runs rampant out here. This doesn't mean that God hardens some people's hearts and then makes other hearts shallow and then makes other hearts crowded and then some hearts fertile. Listen, God's sovereignty is displayed brightly and greatly when it comes to presenting the gospel to every single soul. He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In fact, if you go to Mark 4, I want you to see this. If you go to Mark chapter 4, it's the same story, but I want you to see this. Look in verse 10. It says, and when he was alone, Mark 10, which is the book right after Matthew, Mark, it's the next book. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. And when he was alone, they were about him, and with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? How come? Look at verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at, what's the next two words? Anytime. Anytime you want to get saved. Anytime they should be what? Converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So how did the disciples, minus Judas, understand the kingdom and understand spiritual things? Here's why. Because they were saved. They were already converted. When Messiah came, they're like, yeah, we believe, we follow you. So he speaks in parables to those who are not saved. In other words, Jesus is saying, I don't want people who are unsaved to understand spiritual things. So I'll speak to them in parables, using things they understand to communicate a spiritual truth. But until they're converted, until they ask Jesus to save them from their sin and their sin is wiped away, then they can understand spiritual things. That's why he's saying that. God is not saying, I've chosen this group to understand and this group not to understand. He's chosen everybody to understand, but the only people who can understand are those that are saved. Does that make sense to everybody? That's how it works. You say, well, you know, does God harden some people's hearts and soften other people's hearts? And does God choose who's saved and who's not saved? Didn't God harden Pharaoh's heart? Yeah, he did, but Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. It's interesting, isn't it, when it comes to the sun. We lived in out west. We lived in Arizona. And I grew up in Arizona. And it's interesting because if you put clay on the sidewalk and you put a block of ice on the sidewalk, the same sun will harden one and soften the other. It's the same sun. It has nothing to do with the sun. It has everything to do with the substance that the sun is shining on, the kind of heart that that person has. 8 times God, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. 16 times God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But did you know that even the disciples had a hardened heart? And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the 4 types of soil. So in our parable, you have the sower, you have the seed, you have the soil. And God speaks in parables. And Jesus is speaking to many different types of soil. The same message, different responses. So I want you to see the different responses to the gospel, which is, number one, a hardened heart. Did you know that even unsaved people can have a hard heart? And did you know that unsaved people can have a fertile heart? That's how I got saved. When the gospel was presented, I was like, yeah, I want that. There's some unsaved people who have a hard heart. They're the kind of people who deny that God even exists. And how could you believe in some sky god? Who do you think you are? Shoving your religion down my throat. And they're just hard to the gospel. Do you know Christians are this way too? It's not just the atheist or the unbeliever or the mocker or the cynic that's hard to the gospel. There are people sitting right here who are hard as well. Did you know the disciples had a hardened heart? Go to Mark 6. Go to Mark 6. Did you know the disciples had a hardened heart? I want you to see this. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, this is just for the non-believer. Look what it says in Mark 6. It says in verse 50 of Mark 6, "For they all saw him and were troubled." In other words, Jesus was walking on the sea. They're in the middle of this big storm. They were afraid. They were scared. "And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." By the way, the story that just happened, what Jesus just did before this was feed 5,000 people, not including the women and children. Look at verse 52. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was..." Now, did God harden their heart or did they harden their heart? It was them. Why were their hearts hardened? Because they forgot about what Jesus did before. It's amazing to me how many Christians have a hard heart because God didn't do what they wanted Him to do. You're unfair. And these same people forget about the other billion other things that God is doing in their life that's awesome. Like, you're alive today. You're breathing air. Barely, some of you. Some of you are good sleepers. You're sleeping right now. It's amazing. It's amazing how we can look at God. We forget about all the millions of things that God has done for us. The marriage, the kids, the church, living in America, living in Grand Rapids. It's hot now. You excited? It's hot. I feel like I just jumped into a vat of Jergens like body lotion because it's so humid, man. I'm all moisturized. This is great, you know? The birds are chirping. The mosquitoes are biting. It's great. Fireflies are flying. That's my kids' favorite. They love the fireflies. Can we catch fireflies? They want to do it every night at 11, you know. It's like, no, you're going to bed. You've got to go to bed. The sun doesn't go down until 10 o'clock at night, you know. We forget about all the most amazing things God has done for us, and yet we hold Him hostage for the 2 things you hate. You know what happens is bitterness creeps up, then hatred, then wrath, then clamor, which is loud speaking, and evil speaking, which is just cursing His name. Your heart can be hardened because you forget about all the good things God has done for you. That's why it's important to be thankful. Amen. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The reason why so many people, Christians even, who are so bitter towards God is because they forgot the loaves. They forgot how He's fed you every day. How He's paying your bills. And maybe it's not the way you want it to be done, but it's the way He wants it to be done. And maybe the trouble that you're going through is preparing you for the prayer that you've been praying for. You ever thought about that? Maybe you're not ready until God puts you through some fire. You know, gold's not refined unless it's gone through fire, and diamonds don't develop unless they're made through pressure. Maybe God's allowing you to go through that because He just knows better than you. You ever thought about that? I get a little excited, you know. Get that leg up, you know. There's the hardened heart. And it's not just exclusive to the unsaved. Even the saved can develop that. We see that in the disciples. See, what's a hard heart? It's the inability to see clearly, to understand clearly, and to remember clearly. They couldn't see clearly. Remember, they're like, they forgot about who Jesus was. They're on the boat, afraid, just, oh, we're all going to die. They couldn't see who He was. He said, be of good cheer. It's me. I'm here. What are you doing? Stop freaking out. And the reason why so many people have a hard heart is because they forgot who Jesus was. And the remedy to a hard heart is spending more time with Jesus. There's a dichotomy, though, because when your heart is hard towards Jesus, you don't want to spend time with Jesus. But the remedy is to spend time with Jesus. And maybe you just need to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just mad. And go to Him and spend time with Him and sup with Him, and He's going to break up the fallow ground. But some people, their heart is so hard, even this message is, the Word of God, just, it won't do anything. They can't understand clearly. They can't remember clearly. It's the hardened heart. So I want you to see, look in Matthew again. Look at Matthew again. He says this in verse number 18. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So the hardened heart is the hearts that are like paths around the field. They're pounded by foot traffic. They're baked by the sun. These hearts become quick snacks for the birds. And let me tell you something. The hardened heart, you want to harden your heart towards the gospel, towards the Word of God, it'll get you nowhere. You'll bear zero fruit. You think you're going to have love with a hard heart? I'm sorry. It's impossible. You think you're going to have peace with a hard heart? It's impossible. You think you're going to be long-suffering? I don't think so. Your life is going to be miserable day in and day out. And if it is miserable, we look to other things to soothe our misery other than Jesus. And let me tell you something. You're on a dark, dark, dark path. So there's the hardened heart. Number two, I want you to see the shallow heart. Look at verse 20 and 21. Look at the shallow heart. But he that received the word into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and Anon with joy receiving. They get excited like, this is great. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. We kind of took up gardening, moving here. We enjoy it. We have beautiful plants around our house. But I noticed something about all of these beautiful flowers and plants is that there's weeds that grow up around it, right? And it's amazing how things grow here. But out west, if you plant something, it may take root and grow up. But guess what happens when the sun comes out? It scorches it. Why? Because it never took root. It never had any kind of depth whatsoever. This is the shallow heart. Their initial response to the gospel is, hey, this is going to be a quick fix to my problem. This is going to be like a stab in the dark. If I come to church and I do this Jesus thing, this will be like a quick fix to the doctor. We're going through some trouble financially, relationally, emotionally. Hey, let's go to that Grand Rapids Baptist Church we got an invitation to, and let's try it out. It'd be like going to the doctor. And everything's going good for a while, and you tell your friends you got saved, and this is great, and this is wonderful. But all of a sudden, because of your newfound life, there's now some persecution. Not all your friends are going to be excited that you're saved. Not everybody's going to be excited that you're living for Jesus Christ. And when that happens because of the word, it's scorched. It's taken away. It's a quick fix. Remember Jesus was feeding a whole multitude of people. He's feeding everybody. And that's why he had huge crowds come follow God. Okay? He was feeding them, and then he addressed the crowd, and he says, "Now, this is great. I'm glad you've been eating, filling up your bellies." And then he said to them, "Now you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, he wasn't saying literally eat his flesh and literally drink his blood, but he's saying you need to receive me. And when he said that, you know what? Everybody left. You know why? Because it was a hard saying. In other words, there's a lot of shallow Christianity. It's like exciting at first. Like, this is great. I'm glad I'm coming to church. This is so good. But because it wasn't really about Jesus, it was about fixing that problem when you came here. When the first trial comes, you're gone. Well, I guess what I thought when I got saved, all my troubles would be gone. No! You've been listening to Joel Osteen for too long. You've been watching too many televangelists. The Bible says those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say you won't have any of it. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. But let me tell you something. When you get saved, it doesn't mean all your problems go away. What it means is that in the midst of your problems, you do have peace. You do have comfort. You do have something that unsaved people don't have. But when it's not ever about Jesus, it never takes root. Do you know how many people come through this church and they get saved and they get baptized and they're all excited, and then the first trial comes and I never see them again? And a lot of people look at me and they're like, "Pastor, you know, you need to get after him, get after him." I was like, "Well, I can't help the stony heart. That's up to them. How come some people receive it and are doing great and some people don't? It's not me. It's their heart." Back in Jerusalem, there'd be shallow ground. It'd be shallow. There'd be some dirt, the seed, the word would take root, spring up, and be withered about by the sun. Here's the deal. In Christianity, there is a veneer of Christian play acting. Underneath the veneer of Christian play acting is a bedrock of unbelief. Underneath the veneer of Christian play acting, just kind of got my Bible, going to church, singing the songs, and I'm going to try this Jesus thing. Underneath the veneer of that is a bedrock of unbelief. You don't really believe that He can heal your problems. And once you realize that Jesus isn't what you expected Him to be, you're gone. Because it was never really about Him. It was about Him fixing your problems. There is a fundamental difference between getting something from God and getting more of God. And when it's not about getting more of God, you're going to be gone. The first trial that comes is like, "See ya." And let me tell you something, as your pastor, man, I want to see you here. And I want to see you grow spiritually. And I want to see you move forward and have that peace and have that fruit that bears in your life. But you're never going to have it if it's not really about Jesus. If there's this bedrock of unbelief going in your heart, let me tell you, you're not going to last very long. And so we see the first type of soil is the hardened heart. Secondly, the shallow heart. And thirdly, I want you to see the crowded heart. Look in verse 22. There's two types of soil here, good soil and bad soil. Look at the crowded heart in verse number 22. It says, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns," so the word of God among the thorns, "is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of" what? Riches. I got to trade in God for money. "Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." You guys see that? I enjoy gardening now. You know, it's great. Got all these wonderful plants and flowers. But you know what grows up on the sides of it? Everybody say it together. And if you don't pull the weeds, the ones you do want to grow get choked out. You can't have both. There's only so much room in the heart. And a lot of times what you want to grow spiritually doesn't get grown because we're not pulling out the things that are choking out the Word. There's only so much room in our hearts for the Word of God to grow and spring forth fruit. But how many of you guys understand that some of our greatest threat to our growth as a Christian is not bad things. Sometimes it's good things that crowd out the best things. Some of our biggest threats to our Christian growth is not bad things, not sin. Sometimes it's just good things that crowd out the best things. There's only so much room in your life. You only got 7 days a week. You only have 24 hours in a day. That's it. That's all you got. There are people who care too little about their soul and too much about their world, and the gospel cannot grow in that kind of soil. It's impossible. I mean, we're like going to 30 different games a week, seems like. We got piano practice, and we got this going on and that going on. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to do my devotions. Really? Listen, you make time for what's important to you. You know, something interesting. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you spend your money is where your heart will be. It's where you invest your time. Do you know when God says you need a tithe, you know, when it comes to the tithe, do you know it's not for God? It's that God needs your money. It's because God wants your heart. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Okay, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, where you spend your money is usually what you talk about. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have extracurricular activity. I love playing a good video game. I'm in a softball league on Monday nights. Man, I love it. We won our first game out of like eight. It was unbelievable. We won. We acted like we won the World Series. We're like jumping in the middle on the mound like, yeah! It was awesome. I love a good sport, but listen, not at the expense of my spiritual growth. And some of you are like, man, I want to be loving to my wife and my husband, and I want to help my kids grow in spiritual things, and I want to do those things. You got to pull some good things out of your life so the best things can grow. And yes, that hurt. Do you think I enjoy pulling weeds in my house? Do you think that's fun? You know, it's like, yeah, some of you enjoy that. I think you love getting down there and gardening. It's therapy for you. It's not for me. I hate weeds. I hate pulling weeds. I just like spraying them with weed killer. That's what I like to do. But I gotta work at pulling the weeds so the best things, the things I want to grow, grow. And if the things that you want to grow in your life, you want them to grow, you have to pull out some things in your life and be intentional about it. And it may be a sport. I don't know. It may be an extracurricular activity. It may be less sleep. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's you don't need to put in 80 hours a week at work to make more money. Isn't that what it says? The deceitfulness of riches. I got to have more money. Pastor, you don't understand. If I get more money, I'll be happy. No, you won't. If you're not happy now with what you have, you won't be happy later when you have more. I can promise you that. Don't deceive yourself in thinking, if I just had a little bit more, then I'll be happy. Happiness is a spiritual commodity. Remember, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're choking out the joy that God wants to give you with the cares of this life, you're hurting yourself. So there's the hard heart. There is the shallow heart. There's the crowded heart. And then there's the fertile heart. The fertile heart. This heart is awesome. As a pastor, when I see people receive the word, I'm like, all right, what do I do next? You do this. And they're like, oh, this is great. Hey, but a starting point class starts and growth point. And once you get involved, they're like, this is great. This is awesome. We're growing. The fertile heart is awesome. It's exciting. The fertile heart welcomes the gospel immediately. Immediately. And it welcomes the gospel deeply so it's not withered. And it welcomes the gospel exclusively so other concerns don't strangle it out. That's what it does. When you plant something, when you plant a seed, how many of you guys want that seed to grow in good soil? I mean, do you throw it on the sidewalk? All right, I hope you make it. No, you find the most fertile soil and you plant it. Sometimes you go to the store and you buy fertile soil. Because you want it to grow. You want it to have the nourishment and the care it needs to grow. Your heart is that soil. What kind of soil is it, though? Is it hard? Is it shallow? Is it really about Jesus? Is it crowded? Too busy? Or is it fertile? Is it soft? Imagine what your life would be like if it was like that. Imagine when you leave church with fertile soil, with a fertile heart. Like, man, I want to do that. I'm excited about the things of God. I'm excited about my family. You don't want to be the person who gets excited, the shallow person, or the person who's been who's got all the cares of this life in their life going on, and they're excited. They're like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to do what the Bible says. And they get in the car like, honey, this is going to be great. And then, yeah, this is going to be great. And by Monday afternoon, it's gone because the cares of this life have choked it out. Or we want to have joy and peace, and so we try to get it our own way, and it's not about Jesus, and it just doesn't work, and so we're done with the Christian thing. Or the hard heart just walks down and says, that was lame. That was a waste of my time. But imagine what your life would be like if it was fertile. Imagine the joy you would have. Why is he so happy all the time? Well, maybe he just has some fertile soil and he allowed the Word of God to take root. I don't know. Why does that person just seem to have so much peace? Anybody can have it. The sower is indiscriminate when it comes to sowing the Word. He's like, hey, here's the Word. Have it. But what kind of soil does it fall on? Some of you are guests today. Where's your heart? Where is that? Imagine what the thing you've been seeking is love, joy, and peace. You've been seeking those things your whole life. Let me tell you, it's found in Jesus. You say, did you just say that because the Bible says? No, because I personally experienced that. That's why I'm a pastor. Did you know I'm a pastor not because God called me to be a pastor? I just volunteered and he hasn't stopped me yet. I was so excited about being saved, I want everybody else to be saved. You know, and when he stops me, great, that's okay. My identity and happiness doesn't depend on doing this. It's on Jesus. I love preaching the Word, but listen, I love Jesus more. Imagine what your life would be like if the Word of God fell on fertile soil. Are there some things in your life that's causing your heart to get hard? You know, in my car, how many of you guys drove here this morning? How many of you guys drove here? Okay. How many of you guys looked at your dashboard? I did. You know, I want to see how fast I'm going. On your dashboard, it gives you indicators, right? How fast you're going, how much gas you have. Have you ever been like on E and the wife's like, we got to fill up? And the husband says, no, we got 50 miles left on this thing. You know, we're good. We know how much mileage we got left on an empty tank. We have other indicators. We have it tells us what the temperature of the engine is. It tells us how much voltage is in our car. I don't know if they still have that anymore, but my car tells me the tire pressure in my car. I know it's like I got to it, it's like 34, 34, 34, 33, and the 33 is bugging the fire out of me right now. I'm like, why isn't that 34? I know some three mechanics are going to come to me after church and be like, it shouldn't be 34, Pastor. It's going to be 29 during the summer. I'm like, I my car drives. That's all I care about. But I have all these indicators in my car, okay, that tell me how my car is doing. The Bible says what David said to God. He says, God, search my heart and know me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And that should be your heart and my heart. Lord, would you search me? Is there some things in my life that's crowding out your word? Lord, is this Christian life really about you, or is this about you quickly fixing a problem in my life? And Lord, maybe you have the hard heart. Maybe you just say this morning. My heart's hard. I have no feelings at all when it comes to God. When we're singing the songs, it's like, I was just annoyed. I was annoyed by people raising their hands, annoyed by the stuff. Maybe that's you. Let me talk to you for just a second. Why don't you try to be of an understanding heart? You need to ask yourself this. Why is your heart so hard? Why don't you answer that question? Why is it so hard? Why are you bitter towards the things of God and the people of God? Was it a pastor that hurt you? Maybe you had Christian parents and they had a lot of rules but no relationships, so you're very rebellious. Maybe that's you. Let me tell you something. Do not place the inconsistencies and the sins of other people on God. God is not that way. He loves you with an unconditional love. He died on the cross for you. And the Bible says that the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, and maybe you just need to get in the Word of God this week. break up that hard heart. Maybe you need to make it about Jesus. And these indicators in our dashboard of life kind of go off, doesn't it? That red light goes off, you're like, oh snap, something's wrong with my car, right? You know what these indicators in our life are? I'm lacking peace right now. Why am I lacking peace? I have no joy. I'm depressed. Why am I depressed? I'm not enjoying my family. Why am I not enjoying? And you, as these indicators are flashing in your life, you need to investigate. Lord, would you please search my heart and know me? Would you reveal to me why my heart is not good soil? Ask yourself that question. That's you need to answer that. Why is it not good? And if it is good, keep it good. And let the Word of God continue to grow and have the fruit. So what should I do this week with what was said today? Number one, determine what kind of soil you have. Right now, this morning, during this invitation, let me tell you about our invitation. Here's what we do. Our worship team comes, they sing, and this is what you do. You can sit there at your seat and just talk to God. We have two prayer banners in the back that says pray. If you want to talk to somebody, I'll be back there. We have some of our deacons and staff back there. You can talk to them. Say, I just need some prayer. My heart's not good right now. We would love to talk to you. But you need to determine what kind of soil you have and be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Number two, decide to cultivate good soil. In other words, you need to figure out what you need to do and then do it. If there's some things crowding out the Word, pull some weeds. If it's not about Jesus, make it about Jesus. Just do that. Just like, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to make it about you and not about me. Okay? I'm going to make it about me spending time with you and not you just fixing my problems. And maybe you need to quit holding God to that unfair thing you think God did to you. And maybe just start remembering all the good things He's done for you. Decide to cultivate good soil. That's up to you. That's up to you. God's not going to make you have good soil. That's up to you. And then number three, believe on Jesus as your Savior. Listen, all of this means nothing. You'll never grow fruit without Jesus. The Bible says this, that we are the branches, He is the vine, and if we're connected to the branch, we're going to bear much fruit. You cannot bear spiritual fruit if you're not spiritual. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. In other words, you have to believe that Jesus, God Himself, died on the cross, shed His blood for your sin as the satisfactory payment for your sin. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, it doesn't matter how many times you go to church, how many times you pray, how many times you do good things, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God without the blood of Jesus. It's not the blood and good works, it's the blood. That's it. And that Jesus died, was buried in a tomb, and after 3 days He rose again from the grave, conquering death and sin. And when you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says you're saved. I did that September 1st, 2001. That's when I got saved. I was 21. I wasn't born into a Christian family. And if you are born into a Christian family, it doesn't mean you're born again. Let me tell you, when you stand before God, your mommy and daddy's not going to be there with you. It's between you and Jesus. The question is, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And then when you have, let Him grow fruit in your life so that other people can enjoy you. Lord, I pray for every soul here. I pray that they would have the good ground, the fertile ground. Lord, I pray as the Word of God was preached today that it would take root, not on stony ground, it's impossible. Not on shallow ground, not on the crowded ground, but Lord, on the fertile ground. And Lord, I do pray for maybe the one or two that don't know You as their Savior. I pray they get saved this morning. Lord, I pray they would honestly examine their heart today